Well, thank you so much for coming to this lecture entitled On the Stability of a Market-Oriented Cloud Computing Model with Time-Varying Workload. As you can see, this work was carried out by Dr. Chucky Abdallah, Dr. Greg Hilleman, both of them faculty at the ECE department at the University of New Mexico, and who is speaking, Jose Marcio Luna. So following our outline here, let's start out with the work that it actually was the original work that motivated this extension here. First of all, a year ago in the same conference in FEBIT 2012, Dr. Michael Lemon from University of Notre Dame proposed this passivity framework to manage cloud computing system from a market-oriented point of view. In this model, and this scheme that is taken from this paper, we have a system of broker and a system of servers. The input of the system, it has an external input, which is W, is the consumer's workload, which is a vector. So this vector goes to the broker system. The broker system decides how to manage or administer this workload to be served by these servers, which are as well. So we have an output that is a vector here, and we have a vector of states here, which are called B and S, respectively. Based on this state of the servers, let's say, for example, if one of the servers here is busy, then it is going to produce this throttle signal called U hat and send it back to the broker system to let it know that, well, the server is busy. So the broker is going to slow down in the amount of workload that is sent to the server to be processed. On the other hand, for example, if a server is idle or is available, then this server is going to let know the system of broker that through the same throttle signal that is available, so the broker can send more workload to the servers and so on. So it is a feedback loop, but it's a dynamical feedback loop that is given by the server. So the state of the server determines the amount of workload that is sent by the brokers and so on. So wrapping up, in the original work, the routing of the consumer's workload into the cloud is described by a market-oriented discrete time model. Servers communicate with brokers, letting them know how busy they are. Brokers distribute the consumer's workload to be processed by the servers based on the current status of the servers. And there is something really important about this framework. What is essential, actually, is that this framework takes advantage of something called passivity. And pretty much what passivity means is, in a dynamical system, from the controls point of view, it means that the increase, if we have a system that has some power source, then the increase in the energy of that power source is less or equal than the amount of power consumed by the system itself. So it is very typical when we see basic circuits analysis in our, you know, remember these circuits, RLC circuits. We have a power source, there might be some energy storing the system in the form of current or voltage in the capacitors and inductances, but eventually the amount of store or the difference of stored energy is going to be upper bounded by the amount of power consumed by the system. So it is the analogy, I would say. I usually think of the problem like, if I have a bucket and I'm going to spill some water, I'm going to try to fill it up with a hose, but it turns out that this bucket has a little hole on the bottom, then let's say the passivity might be seen as having the system. I mean, I'm pouring water into the bucket, but the bucket is spilling water through the hole, but so the level even remains the same or goes down, right? It is sort of an analogy, a graphic analogy of what passivity is. So the bottom line here is that when in a dynamical system, when you have, let's say, two systems like this, and you can prove independently that they are passive, but if you interconnect the system, you can see that the system, the global system, the interconnected model that you can get from here is passive as well. And under certain mathematical conditions, you can prove that the system is actually stable, even asymptotically stable. So that's something really important that, besides the model that Dr. Lemon proposed in the past, this approach makes life easier in terms of analyzing the stability of the system. So going a little bit into the equations, we go back to our graph, to our scheme of systems. So let's see what is D of K, the broker system. It turns out D of K is defined as the maximum dispatch workload that goes to the server, so it is sort of an upper bound of the amount of workload that we can send to the servers to be processed, and it obeys these sort of equations where beta 1 is a number, real number between 0 and 1, beta 2 is a number between 0 and infinity, and as you can tell in this discrete model, d of k depends on, is a system with memory, it is called, right, because it depends on the past times. This system would be linear, but there is something else. There is this square bracket with this plus sign here, which represents this operation, which is a maximum operator. So that makes the system nonlinear, and it implements a projection law where we avoid that this expression, that the d of sub j k plus 1 becomes a negative number, pretty much, because it doesn't make any sense, right? In this approach, we are assuming that the workload is some amount that cannot be negative. And the output is a minimum comparison. Since this is reflect the maximum dispatch, then either we send the workload, that is the external input to the system, or we send the upper bound, which is d sub j. Going back to our graph, then let's take a look at these equations that are proposed. So what is b and what is s? Important to mention that we are talking about vectors here, so what we are taking in these equations are just some entries. That's why I use the subindex I in each equation. So you are taking the ith entry of the vector b. So b sub I is the amount of pending workload that hasn't been processed yet by the servers, and s sub k is the maximum amount of workload that the ith servers can process. So pretty much in this model, same thing. This model is quasi-linear, let's say, but it's not linear just because we have the projection law again here. It avoids this expression to be less or equal than zero. And S sub I as well depends on itself. So both systems are dynamical systems with memory, with the distinction that S sub I is upper bounded by this expression S sub I bar, which is an upper bound of the amount of workload that can be processed by the ith server. Finally, through the passivity approach, I'm not going to go deeper into it, but by using this throttle signal, remember the throttle signal that goes back to the broker, the author shows that the system is, the interconnected system is asymptotically stable as long as we assume, that's typical in control system, that the reference value or the incoming consumer's workload is zero. So what are our contributions here? First of all, we provide some additional information, some additional theory about it. So we provide a mathematical justification to the use of passivity theory. It is not self-evident in the problem that passivity can be applied to the problem unless we are careful, right? So we pretty much just propose a justification of using passivity for this solution. In second place, we prove that an additional condition is required to guarantee asymptotic stability of the system, besides all the conditions given in the previous work by Dr. Lehmann. And we prove that the system is input to state stable, which is very important to guarantee that the system is stable under time varying consumers' workload. So let's start with our contributions. First of all, is about passivity analysis. We have a similar block diagram than the one we have before. But you gotta remember that the equation of D implies two gains, beta 1, beta 2, right? That are free multiplying this, the consumer's workload and the throttle signal, let's say. And what I do is just to take out of the scheme the gains, beta 1, beta 2, so we end up having this loop that is the same as before. The only difference is that here it is more clear for me with this dashed blue line what W of K, that is explicit the connection of W of K with the system. Before it wasn't, right? Because it was directly going directly to the block. Now, what is the issue with this, or what I want to do with this? What I want to do with this is, and this is probably, we can just talk it over after the lecture, but pretty much what I need to guarantee that I can apply, I can be sure of applying passivity over this system is if I eliminate this blue input here. And it turns out that it is possible. And actually what happens is that eventually after a finite number of time instance, I can get rid of that blue connection, so I'm free to use a passivity in this a passivity approach to guarantee asymptotic stability of this system. It turns out that we came up with this proposition. This says, as it says, consider the state space dynamics of the jade broker, defined by 1 and 2. 1 and 2. I just rewrote the equations here. For any initial condition D sub k sub 0 such that the maximum dispatch is greater than the amount of consumer's workload, there exists a finite number N such that the output of the system is going to be always D of k, which means that if the output of the system is going to be always D of k, then I can get rid after a finite time steps of that blue connection. And after that, I can apply passivity approach. The proof of this is detailed in the paper. However, if we have enough time, I can go through it. Right now, I just wanted to mention that after a finite time, then we have the mathematical conditions to apply passivity approach in order to guarantee asymptotic stability of the system. There are a couple of remarks. First of all, in this the case where the consumer's workload is zero is not... the proposition doesn't apply pretty much because in this case D tends to zero as k goes to infinity, in other words asymptotically or an infinite time, so we can apply passivity right away, so that doesn't need any proof because it's already proven in Dr. Lehmann's paper. And secondly, the proposition does not consider the case where D of k is zero in the dynamic equation. Let's see when I say the projection is active, it's because something here is negative. So this becomes zero, or is zero. Because the main assumption in this case is that D of K, you can see it here, D of K is greater than W, and W is greater than zero. So that other case doesn't apply. However, it is not difficult to see from this principle that has been proven in the other paper that this is true anyway. We can apply passivity under those mathematical conditions. Our second contribution is about the asymptotic stability of the system. Let us just simulate the simplest case where we have just one broker and one server, and we use this constant that indicated beta 1, beta 2, W with these values, the upper bound of S, the initial conditions, D of k sub 0 equal 45, and so on. Everything is indicated here. And I just change a little bit the throttle signal equation. I can explain that. In the appendix of the paper, there is an explanation of why I just added this term here that was in the first place. And it might be, I have to be honest, I just started reproducing the results, and I ended up just having always this term here. I didn't have any way of getting rid of it, so I decided just to leave it just to play it safe. And I have the justification of how I developed mathematical development to get this equation. So it's a little bit different than Dr. Lehmann's result. I decided just to leave it like that, just to play it safe mathematically. But yeah, the bottom line is that under those... using those values, the system should converge asymptotically to the equilibrium points of the states. But it turns out that in black we have W of k, which is actually constant, and we end up having that the model oscillates in all these states. We have D, B, S in blue, green, and red, and you can tell that the system oscillates. It just doesn't go asymptotically to the equilibrium points. And the reason for it is actually because it doesn't satisfy an additional condition that we came up. The proof is as well detailed in the paper. So the proposition is very clear from there. It's an additional condition to guarantee asymptotic stability of the feedback connection between the broker system, one given by 1 and 2 that I show here, right? And, sorry about it, and the system given by 5 and 6 and the throttle signal 3 is this. So this condition should be satisfied in order to guarantee asymptotic stability. The proof is actually done by contradiction. It's fairly simple. But, of course, if you don't satisfy this additional condition, don't incorporate this additional condition in the set of sufficient conditions, then you can't guarantee asymptotic stability of the system. So our third contribution is pretty much to guarantee stability under time-varying consumers' workload. And it is proven, it is actually proven and in the paper and is given by this proposition, which says that given the feedback connection of the model that we've been studying with the values of beta 1, between 0 and 1 and beta 2, between 0 and infinity, and with the value of sigma between 0 and 1, then the system is input to stay stable, which means that if the output of the incoming workload is bounded, then all the states inside the system are going to remain bounded. So pretty much what we're guaranteeing here is that the system is, doesn't go unstable, right? And the proof is not as straightforward in the sense, but using very sophisticated, you know, not difficult, but is using high level tool for control system. It's a sure proof that actually shows that the system is input to stay stable. And more than that, given the additional sufficient condition that we just proved in the previous section, the system tracks the equilibrium points indicated here asymptotically. We have some simulation results of this approach using two brokers and three servers with the given values of beta 1, beta 2, and sigma. In this case, just fulfilling all the conditions, S bar is going to be the upper bound of the possible of the workload that is possible for the server, for the servers to process. And we model in order to show the convergence of these let's say, or the viability of this theory, the consumer's workload is modeled just as simple as a time-varying one. Let's say for mathematical purposes, is a good idea to prove something that is time-varying instead of random or something like that in the first place. And we have these results. So the black sign is the incoming workload, is W, right? And we have our state D, B2 and S2, which means that we have the maximum dispatch of the first broker and the B and S variables of the second server, because we have two brokers, three servers. So this is for the first broker number one and server number two. You can say the system is input to stay stable. It remains bounded, right? And the reason why it remains bounded is because U sub 1 of beta, which is pretty much what you obtain when, if I take this beta 2 and pass it to the other side to divide W, then this is what I call U sub beta. So it's beta 1 over beta 2 times W of k. In order to satisfy this equation, then mu sub beta if I pass beta 1 to divide these sides, then mu sub beta is going to be beta 2 times u sub of k over beta 1, and mu sub beta should be less than w of k in order for the system to remain stable. That's what happened here, because u sub beta is this here, and it's all the time less than w. So that's actually the extra sufficient condition we are adding and is fulfilled. That's why the system remains bounded in this case. If we now carry out another simulation, which is a little bit more realistic from the for the system, we now use three brokers and five servers with order values beta 1, beta 2, sigma, the upper bounds S, and the consumer's workload is modeled as a Gaussian white noise with mean mu equal 2 and variance sigma square 1. So at the step time k equal 100, then the mu of the Gaussian white noise, or the mean, is changed from 2 abruptly to 25, and at k equal 210 is back to mu 2. You should simulate some sort of a sudden increase in the workload. Then we do the same thing, but this time at k 425, we increase the mean to 16, and after that, it returns to 2. So these are the plots of the states. D of k reacts like this. So here is when the actual workload increases suddenly, decreases again. So the system remains bounded, right? As expected, right? And it was actually illustrated in the previous paper, but there, in this case, we have provided the mathematical reasons for it. the server backlog actually behaves this way when it increases and decreases and then increases again, but it stays in around some certain constant value because the server backlog is B, right? And the server workload is saturated. So if the possible number of processes that the server can process is saturated, then it means that there is going to be an accumulation of pending processes, and that accumulation of pending processes is reflected in this part of the model, right? Which is correct. But in the second increase of workload, the system is not saturated here. So the reaction of the backlog is it goes up suddenly because it has to absorb all this amount of new processes that are coming to the server. But eventually, the system accommodates itself in the interconnected system, the feedback loop, such that the system goes to normal again and is able to process the system just around the values that the equilibrium points require. So we can tell that in this case, we cannot guarantee actually asymptotic stability. And the main reason is because our condition here might not be fulfilled because the system is random this time, right? So that's why I took the time just to develop this little simulation. In this simulation, I can guarantee that condition is satisfied, but when the system behaves randomly, you cannot guarantee that. However, we know the system is input to stay stable, so this is going to be bounded anyways. So we can guarantee stability, but not asymptotic stability when this is random. Well, as a conclusion, we have presented an in-depth analysis of the passivity framework introduced in Lemon 2012 for power, control, and response time management in the cloud. We have formally provided an additional condition for the asymptotic stability of the market-oriented cloud model. Additional assumptions to justify the use of passivity approach to guarantee asymptotic stability have been provided, and we have formally proven that the cloud model is input to state stable in presence of time-varying consumers workload vectors. Thank you so much. If you have any questions. The maximum one, yeah. Let's say that what is physically possible.
Okay, so yeah. You bound the number of requests that each server can serve.
Yes, that's right.
The number of requests that all your five or three servers can.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, you can have a vector of it. I just put 20, like a constant value for all of them. Okay. But of course, every server may have different capacities, so you may have different numbers. That's right.
The second question is more abstract. So how much do you think this model is close to the real cloud?
Well, that's a good question. That's a question that I've been asking myself because it is difficult to validate, right? And actually, you can tell that some of the relations in this model are quasi-linear, are almost linear except for the projection law. So first of all, it is difficult to tell, and it's difficult to predict that this is going to be linear anyways, right? However, the model makes sense from the logical, intuitive point of view in the sense that, yeah, sure, that if you model a cloud as a broker server system, then you can find some equilibrium, and that's actually doable from the bottom-top point of view. But whether it reacts exactly as the model indicates or not, I have my own doubts about it, but it should be very approximate anyways. Yeah, it's difficult to validate. I've been thinking about the next step is to try to validate the model, right? It's not easy. It's something that is going to require a lot of time just to take the samples and validate this model actually really, really, oh, what is the error rate of the model or something like that. But from the mathematical point of view, and let's say more than intuitive, but you know, it's something that actually makes a lot of sense in terms of the behavior, possible behavior of the system, thinking of the how a set of brokers can administer the amount of workload to each server, how every server may close the loop in order in this feedback system to ask for more jobs if it is idle, or ask to slow down if it is busy. Right? It makes sense in that sense. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that if the workload follows a random distribution, then it's not deterministic, then you cannot guarantee the asymptotic stability.
The asymptotic, no, but you can guarantee the input to state stability.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering, even if it's random, if you have a characterization of what kind of distribution it's following, is it still possible to prove it statistically?
Oh yeah, yeah. But definitely, asymptotic stability is pretty much related to deterministic models. But of course, there are some definitions of stability for stochastic systems anyways. And there are tools to prove the stability of that. In this case, I'm just playing it safe, and I'm actually, that's why I made the third contribution in the paper, because even if the characterization of the workload, which is the real one, is random, then you know that the model is going to be stable because its input to state is stable. So it's not going to blow up, right? It's going to stay bounded. As long as it stays bounded, then it's something that you want the system to behave like, right? It's definitely useful to say already that the system is not going to go out of certain bounds. As long as the workload remains bounded, then the states are going to stay bounded. That's all we can say by now. But there are more sophisticated tools to actually calculate certain statistical boundaries and stuff, yeah, to prove that it's going to remain confined inside a certain interval or something like that. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Let's thank the speaker.
Thanks.